Twins fall today, a bullpen meltdown, and the Cardinals win it 9-6, rubber game of the three-game series on Sunday. Should be another good day at the ballpark. The Cardinals, they put up 5 runs in the 7th inning, 9-6 the final today. Our coverage begins at high noon with Inside Twins, lineup card 12:30. First pitch at 1:10. NBA finals resume in San Antonio, and New Yorkers not welcome in San Antonio. It's an amazing story. The San Antonio Spurs slapped a ticket restriction on NBA finals games in a bid to keep New York fans from flooding the Frostbank Center, sparking outrage, of course. So what they did is they said, you can't buy a ticket if you live outside of a 150-mile radius of San Antonio. And the problem is a number of Knicks fans flew down, hotels, the whole deal with the idea. I mean, they were spending thousands to get into the Garden.
Trying to get into the Four Seasons, San Antonio, right? They're looking for a place to stay.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. I would assume San Antonio has a Four
Seasons. I'm sure they got some really nice stuff. I hear great things about San Antonio as a city.
Yeah, we went down there for a wedding. We drove. And ooh, the drive from the cities to San Antonio, not for the faint of heart. I'll tell this story real quickly. Driving from here to Kansas City, no problem. I've done it many times. And then Kansas City to Oklahoma City is, there are parts of Kansas, the Flint Hills, are beautiful on the Kansas Turnpike. Just absolutely gorgeous. Rolling prairies, really, really cool. And Oklahoma's a little tough. You get to Oklahoma City. And then that stretch from OKC to Dallas-Fort Worth, kind of a boring drive. But when you get to Dallas-Fort Worth, it's kind of like driving in the Twin Cities. You have a 35E, you have a 35W. They have their freeway stacked up, so on and so forth. But you get out of Fort Worth, and you start heading for Waco, Austin, San Antonio. What a horrible drive that is.
That's what I've heard, driving it is across horrid. Texas. It's probably like Nebraska. I think that's the worst state to drive that I've driven.
I don't even mind, the Grand Forks to Winnipeg, the monotony of
sure.
it, or if you brought up I-80 in Nebraska. But this is, it's super busy because more and more people move in that corridor, from Waco to Austin to San Antonio, it is just exploding in population. So the freeway, the traffic is insane for like 3 hours. And you just go from, it's kind of Walmart, Home Depot, truck stop, Whataburger, Chick-fil-A, wash, rinse, and repeat.
There's
for
no
like
Culver's
3 hours.
Down there, is there, Steve?
No,
not there, a one.
There's just it's just the monotony of the interchanges and so on and so forth. But anyway, we made the drive. But yes, to get to your point, San Antonio and some of the areas around San Antonio are really, really nice. And downtown San Antonio is very nice, very well done. It was an enjoyable visit, but that drive from Dallas-Fort Worth to San Antonio.
And I don't think any New Yorkers are making that drive.
No,
there's
flying
PJs
into San Antonio.
Yep, some PJs, some Delta Ones, right? In this economy, it's only the richest of the rich. So I bet Ben Stiller will be there. I bet Timmy Chalamet will be there. They'll find a way.
Well, that's the thing. They're trying to lock all those Knicks fans out.
We'll see.
And I don't know, and now the governor of New York is weighed in, and there's a lot of drama on who's going to be able to get into the game. But it does bring up a really interesting point, and that is, especially when you have tickets available for sale for the club. Face value stuff. Secondary market, I don't even know how you can control that. If there is a San Antonio Spurs ticket holder that says, hey, I'm going to put it out on the secondary market, and if Ben Stiller wants to give me 10 grand a seat, I'm taking Ben Stiller's money.
Heck yeah, again, in this economy.
And who says I can't? You know what I mean? Or if Spike Lee or whoever else, Tracy Morgan wants to head down to San Antonio. He's a big Knicks fan.
Let's hope the Nuns are still there. I feel like they probably wouldn't kick the Nuns out of their seats.
Yeah, so there's a lot of articles about that today, but I find it interesting that, and you see it on occasion, where we're really trying to lock out, make it available for our fans, and I think Oklahoma City tried something like that. And in reality, in this open marketplace, in secondary market, how do you realistically do that? You know, and I think they've tried with, like, credit card billing addresses and so on and so forth. It seems a little big brother to me.
Yeah.
That you would be able to do it. Now, I don't know what your limit is. I almost dropped this on you for read and react.
Okay.
Is there any sporting event or for that matter, concert play, whatever,
ooh,
where you would like go way beyond your budget and say, I absolutely positively am willing to spend $5,000 to see this? See, I don't think there's anything in the world where I would pay that kind of
five
money.
$5,000? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
even $1,000.
Yeah, I really want to get to like Wimbledon and or the French Open. Those are really the only two that I would consider, but I don't think, unless you're trying to get into the final, like those ticket prices aren't going to run the same. The markets aren't the same in Europe as they are in here. I'm not saying that London doesn't upcharge and everything else. We all know
Paris
as well. Well, I don't know about Europe. I haven't been there yet. But
you know what sporting event I really want to get to.
The Masters.
Yes.
Yes.
And I
would you
get
pay
down to
$5,000 to for like a Masters week?
No.
Not $5,000 to get in the door. $5,000 to go down to Georgia, have this whole experience. Like, would you go on an excursion, a overall trip for it?
I would.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
That changes.
I want to follow the rules. Every year I go through the official lottery. I've been registered for years. And by the way, that starts June 1, and I went in and respectfully put in my request, and I think you can put in a request for...
We just got to go down there and like...
Four Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then two for the four rounds of the tournament.
Right.
And I've done that every year, and I know I'll probably be rejected. But here's my worry, because they really do crack down on this. If I did... And I broke the bank, and I said, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to go on one of these excursions, and someone's going to promise me tickets. I would be the guy who went that route, walking in the gate, and they pull me aside and say, sir, you need to leave the grounds. That's my worry. I want to do that. If I get on the grounds at the Masters, I want it to be on the up and up, so I can walk around and I can have a pimento cheese sandwich and stroll the grounds and be 100% on the up and up. I want to do it the right way.
See, what I would do, Steve, is I would start like going down to Georgia in like January or February. I'm going to try to befriend a groundskeeper or maybe one of the cart people. I don't know what kind of jobs they got down there.
I don't think they have any pull.
You never know.
I think it's so locked down that...
It's probably different than Las Vegas, you're telling me. I was able to get into some cool stuff by befriending security guards down in Las Vegas. I'm like, why wouldn't this work in Augusta, Georgia?
Yeah, I just think it's a whole different level of keeping people out. And that's why if the day comes where I actually get the email and said, you have been selected, I don't know. I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to tell the entire world, oh, man, I'm in. And then I got to figure out how I'm going to get down there and where I'm going to stay and all of that. So I kind of hold out hope. And I know you have mentioned Wimbledon before, but what is your limit? I mean, would you be willing to go into, like, credit card debt to
get to London?
And, what's that?
That's implied. I've opened up credit cards to go to, like, a music festival.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. This is what the new generation does, Steve. I mean, you even
credit
asked.
Card debt.
I saw this on TikTok earlier about John Cena. His first contract for wrestling was, like, a little over 12 grand, and maybe he was paying over a little 1,100 for rent every month. The only way he survived was on getting those credit cards, and then you use them, and they send you more. And so I learned things that made it kind of like, this is the last lap. I would totally do it. But I'm a little, my brain's a little bit more developed. It would have to be a reasonable price. I'm not going to, if I'm already in Europe and I'm in London and the tickets each, because I'm not going by myself. I'm taking Sarah and she's not super into tennis. But if it's above like $500, that's going to be really tough for me to swing right now. But if I'm using the bank of credit,
maybe
I might just do it for the bit. Cause I just like you can always make more money. Right. Or as I say, we could just print more. Like, why don't we just print more money?
Yeah, there you go.
It's fine.
I feel like now if the Timberwolves or the Wild were in the finals,
$0.
Well, no, I feel like maybe $1,000.
Really?
I'd maybe go as high as $1,000.
For a Minnesota Wild Stanley Cup final game, you would pay $1,000 to be there right now.
That would be my limit. Ooh. Because in reality, I got a pretty nice TV.
That's true.
And they do a pretty good job on TV covering the game.
Goodness
so,
knows what the parking ramp rates will be.
You know, it's like that old, if the Vikings ever get to another Super Bowl, I have a feeling there's some Viking fans.
I'm telling you, Steve.
There's no dollar amount that would keep them out of that Super Bowl.
I would rather be in a bar around here, honestly. And this is coming from a privileged place. I went to a Super Bowl a couple years ago when it was the 49ers and the Chiefs won. It was in Vegas. And it's a pretty corporate environment in there, even with the Niners fans. And so, like, football in person is very different than football on TV. And we all know, those of us that have been to games that know that, but I would want to be like amongst the people, like, and living and dying with every possession, everything.
Sure.
Versus in the stadium, you know, you got to get padded down. You can't bring anything. Can you imagine what a hot dog costs? Like, it's not all it's cracked up to be, but if you're a lifelong fan and you've never been, who am I to be like, that's not worth the money. The experience isn't that great. Like, I get it. Go do it. But I would not do that for a Vikings game.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Super Bowl. I went to the one here, got a media credential, walked over from the studio. It was really cold that day. Went through the multiple security checkpoints. Finally got upper deck, east end zone where they had, you know, the media or a lot of the media up there. And it was a cool experience. But the thing about a pro football game in general, and I think it was accentuated even more in a Super Bowl, there is an insane amount of standing around during the TV stuff. It's insane. And then halftime's longer while they were setting up. Now, I thought that was really interesting, setting up for Timberlake and watching that play out. But then there was a lot more standing around and waiting for the third quarter to begin. And then once the third quarter begins, there's so many TV timeouts in a pro football game that if you've never been to one, let alone a Super Bowl, it's crazy how much downtime there is.
Correct.
Compared to actual plays, you know, where they're actually doing something. So
it's very sterile. Like, it's hard for vibes
to
grow.
Yeah, it really is.
And
yeah, you're right. And I don't know if you found this, and I want to ask you this. The one thing that struck me about the Super Bowl here at U.S. Bank Stadium was it's kind of cool to be at a Super Bowl and see it all, but I don't feel like I need to go back. And to me, it was like, it's pretty much just another football game, really.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get that feeling?
I did.
I didn't have a rooting interest.
I didn't either. No, it was There's a lot of pomp and circumstance around the first Super Bowl in Las Vegas. Like, so being present for that, I was more excited to be part of that kind of not inaugural, like that first boat out, right? And being on Radio Row and seeing, you know, everybody descend on the city. It was more about the week itself rather than the game. And so it being just a football game, that's absolutely true. And the standing around, I don't even remember who Vegas even had for their halftime performance. I just really wanted Rihanna to come back and do it again. And that probably would have been a really fun performance to watch happen, too, live, because it was such a interactive stage. Remember, they were like floating stages, and she was dancing, and she was pregnant, and she was just up there in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's actually like a very small production, because like you said, Steve, it's for TV. And so the fans, it's not really about you. And
It is a TV show first and foremost, and it just struck me, it's just pretty much another football game, and Eagles got it done here on a very cold day. And then the cold walk back
it
was really cold. Quick break, is Heather joining us?
Absolutely, she's in.
All right, so Heather Rule's going to join us, local sports journalist. We'll put a bow on PWHL expansion. Then Dylan Larkin wants out in Detroit. Could he end up with the Wild? I know the Stanley Cup Final is on. And by the way, the Cup will be in the building tomorrow night. We'll get into all that with Heather in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. State lacrosse titles being handed out today at White Bear Lake Area High School. And the girls lacrosse title, Minnetonka, the number one seed, beat Buffalo 14-10 earlier today. So girls lacrosse title to the Skippers. And the boys lacrosse championship will be handed out. They're going to get started at 5:30 at White Bear Lake Area today as well, and that'll be Farmington against Stillwater area. Once again, 5:30 at White Bear Lake. State baseball, the last team tournament of the year, and that'll be at Target Field. Title games all day, starting with 1A at 10 a.m. That's Target Field Monday, state baseball. And one ticket, four ball games on Monday over there. Heather Rule joins us, and local sports journalist. And Heather, I did a little reading on this. We are moving to phase four of the PWHL expansion draft. And as we talked about a week ago, this seems insanely complicated.
It's very complicated. Yes, I had a couple people this week message me and, you know, ask me to explain it to them like they're five. They are so confused. They don't understand. I did my best. I've written a couple pieces kind of after each phase. Obviously, frost related. Not really digging in too much to trying to explain it. It is really difficult. I still don't fully understand it all. And they do have the draft, just the actual entry draft coming up this week on Wednesday. And I hadn't seen any other details, and there was another reporter that I saw posted on Twitter earlier today and had confirmed with the teams that they have not received kind of a draft order or those procedures, how everything there is going to work. So it's things are a little up in the air, I feel like. With that, it'll be interesting to see how the draft plays out. But, yeah, the expansion is complicated. We do know the protected players, the three more protected players after phase three, Lee Stecklein, Grace Zumwinkel, Sydney Morin. So we do know that much, and that was kind of what I focused on. And the Frost did lose three players now to Vegas. Nicole Hensley signed with them on Wednesday. So, you know, I know that much, Steve, which players they're protecting, which players from the Frost have signed elsewhere. So I know that much.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. And we touched on it a week ago and have in the past. When you have, you know, one ownership group controlling the leagues and the clubs, and they've expanded and so on and so forth, that I think some transparency and some clarity to number one expansion. I think it's important for the fans. And, you know, Lindsay, you brought it up. You know, some of these players leaving are fan favorites. Mm-hmm. And trying to understand how all of this goes is part of helping the league grow. So they need to do a better job on that front, I think.
Yeah,
I would agree.
What's fascinating to me is you're mentioning that they don't even have the draft order figured out. I'm like, that's a huge red flag. I didn't even know it was that kind of up in the air, but thankfully there are a number of names towards the top of that draft. It's not just a one name that's getting a golden goose, kind of like how the Frost happened into Taylor Heise in their inaugural season. But what can you say about the likes of KK Harvey, of Abby Murphy? You know, everybody knows Abby Murphy around these parts. She's an unbelievable hockey player, but there's a lot of smoke around her not being the first overall choice in that upcoming draft.
Yeah, I think that's what's kind of cool is there isn't, like you said, there isn't like one player who's the obvious number one overall pick. I haven't gone too deep into the prospects list, but Abby Murphy, for sure, I think after the Olympics, everyone's like, oh, man, it would be so cool to have her and Heidi on the same line and in Minnesota. I don't quite think it'll work out that way necessarily, but we'll see how that goes. And but, yeah, there's a ton of talent in the draft. There's, I think they had like a record number of players on the entry list who declared for the draft, which is kind of exciting. There's obviously a ton of Minnesota connections to, I saw Jamie Nelson, who's Andover grad, went to Minnesota State and the Gophers as well. You know, she's hopeful to be drafted. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of, like you said, the top players, Abby Murphy and KK Harvey, and just see where they end up. Again, when we might be able to project a little more when we see, you know, if we have a team order. But I think it's, again, complicated by, you know, with expansion, if players are still signing with those expansion teams and what holes teams might need to fill. You know, are they going to go for the best player available, or is it going to be, well, you know, we really need to fill out, we lost some players on the blue line, or we lost some forwards. So I think that'll be interesting to see too.
Couple other things before we run out of time. We got the weather coming up. Read and React. Steve Carney joining us. Heather Rule right now, local sports journalist. Heather, the Cup will be in the building tomorrow night in Vegas. Carolina on the brink of winning the Cup. They're up 3-2. It has been very good sports theater. I mean, even if you don't have a rooting interest in either of these clubs, the games have been compelling.
Yeah, I think to the surprise of maybe a lot of hockey fans out there when it came down to it, you know, I was certainly one that was like, okay, we're getting Vegas again out of all this, you know, the stacked teams and talent we had in the West. And, you know, Carolina kind of finally broke through to the Cup final after, you know, having a lot of good seasons and falling short in the playoffs. So I think it's been very interesting. And what I found just kind of interesting and maybe not the best way sometimes is no one can keep a lead. And that's, goes across to the basketball finals as well. That no lead is safe. And, you know, the cliche is 2-goal lead in hockey. Well, it's turned into, you know, the Wild had it happen to them, 3-goal lead, 4-goal lead, you know, almost for Vegas before they pulled it out in overtime. So I think that's like, on the one hand, that's awesome for teams to be able to come back. On the other hand, it's, okay, well, teams need to be able to hold a lead too. So I think it'll be exciting either way, no matter who wins.
I blame Edmonton and LA with all of those series that were bonkers, because this has kind of been a trend in the league where you have these big leads, you have high scoring in playoffs, because, you know, playoff hockey are supposed to grit it up and everybody's supposed to be playing defensively structured and no mistakes, block the shots with your teeth. And that's just not the league that we're in anymore, whether
that's
scoring is up or we're not prioritizing goaltending in the same way. So there's just a little bit more of a flakiness with there. But it's been an interesting final, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been very good. One other thing we wanted to get into didn't a week ago, and that is related to the Wild and the idea that they need to improve the center position going forward. They've got a lot on their to-do list. If they want to make another run, certainly they've pushed all their chips onto the table. Dylan Larkin says he wants out of Detroit. This will probably be one of the big off-season, you know, who could land Larkin. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I think so. And what's interesting is everyone in Minnesota kind of perked up and, you know, thinking back to the Olympics and, you know, being friends with Quinn Hughes and all that. And I think after Bill Guerin landed Quinn Hughes in that trade, I think that for me at least, too, nothing would surprise me anymore about what he could do and pull off to help improve this franchise with bringing players in. So I think it's, there's definitely reasons to be optimistic that he could come here. I think obviously the, you know, the center position has been talked about for a long time, and obviously it's a position that everybody wants to have, you know, a number one center at that spot. And I think what's been hard for the Wild is, you know, they've had Eric's neck, but, you know, so often he hasn't had the durability and he's been injured at kind of key times, which is, it's tough. It's kind of, what do you do with that? It's really hard to, you know, say, well, we're going to move on from a player who's so valuable to your team. But I think bringing Dylan Larkin in here would be amazing. And another, I would expect another huge boost with the fan base, just like we saw with Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, and they have pushed their chips in. And then beyond that, Hughes getting some sort of long-term deal done because they gave up a ton to get him. So there is a lot on their to-do list in the offseason, for sure, is potentially Carolina, with a win, could put their name on the Cup. Game 7 would be 3 days later on June 17th. Hey, Heather, always great. Where do we find your work?
Writtenruleofsports.substack.com. I have, like I said, I've been kind of writing after each phase of expansion with the Frost, trying to break it down a little bit, or at least, like I said, talk about the Frost players who have departed to expansion or have been protected and are still here.
All right, very good, Heather. Thanks. Have a good week.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Heather Ruhle joining us here. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll do Read and React. Three quick questions. Lindsay gets three. I get three. We have no idea what we're going to ask each other. We'll live dangerously in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We have another lightning round of Read and React. I get three. Lindsay gets three. We have no idea what we're going to ask each other, and I'll go first. When it comes to Pop-Tarts, do you eat them right out of the little plastic bag? Or do they need to be toasted?
Oh, Steve.
Pop-Tarts.
You're barking right up my tree. I'm like in an active Pop-Tart addiction right now. I've never really been a Pop-Tart gal, but in the last 2 weeks, it's been one of my challenge foods. And so I've been scarfing s'mores Pop-Tarts. They got to be heated up, though. They got to be heated up.
Heat them up.
Yeah, okay. Some people freeze them. I'm like, I don't know about that. These aren't thin mints, okay? It's not that versatile. All right, my first question to you, Steve, Read and React. What would be your walk-up song?
Ooh. Walk-up song. I like that.
What would be your song to come out to the bullpen and help those Twins?
Yeah, walk-up song. I would probably choose Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way.
You just got 10 points for Gryffindor right there, my friend. Unbelievable selection.
Okay. Number two to you. The World Cup is underway in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Do you care?
I didn't before, but I'm seeing all of these people experiencing America for the first time from all over the world and Mexico, and these people are partying and have the best time. I'm not sure if you've seen downtown Boston and footage of the Scots taking over there, but it's actually making me feel a little patriotic, and it's a very unfamiliar place for me to be right now. And so I'm rooting for all of the human connection that the World Cup inspires, but I hate the corporation, I hate the business, and I hate all the people that are running it.
Yeah. FIFA. man.
FIFA, oh. Olympics, NCAA, they're all in the same business.
All right, fire away.
What is the most annoying maintenance task to you?
Oof. There's a lot of them. Endless weeding this time of year. You think you get there, and like I say, I try not to bring out the heavy artillery and the Roundup as much as I can.
Not good for you or really much else.
Yeah, weeding. It's just like, I just did that. Where did you come from? All right, number three to you.
I heard that exactly this week, too. Oh, it's funny.
When it's hot and humid, and Tuesday was blazing hot at State Boys Lacrosse, I did a couple of games over at Roseville. Always fun to do those games. It was really hot. Game three delayed by 40 minutes due to the heat. When it's hot and humid, do you think about winter isn't that bad? Does it? You're kind of like, yeah.
1,000%. I would take a 30-degree below day over, like, a 97. And like, Minnesota 97, because you know it's soupy. I hate humidity. Like,
I hate soupy.
I just soupy, and then your clothes get soupy, and then they feel really uncomfortable, so I want to get them off as soon as possible. I would rather be cold than hot. That is an absolute preference.
So hot and humid, you dream of winter. All right, final one to you.
Last one. Who to you is an all-time villain in a fictional story?
I think there's no doubt one of the great villains in a fictional story is Brad Wesley in the film Roadhouse. Small town, kingpin, owns everything. I think one of the all-time great villains in cinematic history is Brad Wesley, played beautifully by Ben Gazzara in the original Roadhouse. And I have a quick follow-up to a week ago. You asked me about, you know, a sports hero, and I don't remember the exact, but it was, you know, a sports figure that was inspiring to me. Is that about right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I haven't seen that film yet, Steve, so that's definitely something I'm going to have to get on into my watch list.
Yeah, it's almost a B-movie, but it's a really good B-movie, if you will. But you a week ago, quick follow-up, I want to answer this because I didn't. I was stumped. You asked me about sports figures, right? And someone that inspired me or is inspirational to me. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
All right. And I came up with it. And I'm absolutely blown away by this person and what they've accomplished in a sport that has been very difficult. Jessie Diggins, Stillwater, and what she did to get to the top of the mountain in a brutally difficult sport across country skiing, you know, dominated by Europeans. I am just amazed by her and what she accomplished in that sport.
Great answer.
Great answer. Really impressed.
A local answer. You're hitting all of those boxes.
And I didn't come up with it until, like, the show was over. All right, we got a break. Steve Kearney coming up in a moment. We'll go outdoors here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
40-something. You know what that means? It's time for the meeting of the Steves. Featuring Steve Thompson. He may have picked the Raiders to make the playoffs this year, but he's still our number one pick. And please welcome Hall of Famer, fisherman, huntsman, overall jerky superstar, the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Kearney.
It's been a while. Brought it back. Steve, how you been?
Great. I'm not sure what a jerky outdoorsman means. That must be some new lingo I don't know about.
It's that the jerky you make from that wild game is top-notch. I think that's what it means.
You told us about it, cool. Steve.
You're a good man. So it's cooled down considerably, but very hot. What do you expect now that things have cooled a bit?
Well, things have really changed, Steve. You know, those 90s are really tough. I mean, we had a tough time through that. The early mornings were okay, but the afternoons were horrible. But now the 60, 65, you know, things have changed. The fish have changed. They've changed their areas where they've been. And, you know, we had a really big change from 90s to 50. And, you know, whenever that happens, you know, they move. So they're there, you know, one spot one day, and they're gone the next. But this is good. I'm glad to see this cool down. We need this because the weed growth is really crazy. It's really way ahead of a time the way it should be. And I think this cool down is really going to help us to kind of back off a little bit. You know, it's only the middle of June, and we've had a ton of 90s. Yeah. And that's not what you really want early. So far, so good. I'm just glad to see this correction, you know, in the 60s. I really like that.
Yeah, and Steve, what would you expect here in the short term in this quick transition? I know we've had storms move through. That's generally not good. But it looks like it'll be cooler and stable, better as we move into the coming week and maybe next weekend.
Yeah, I like this cool down, and it looks like it's going to be around for a while, and I think it's going to keep the weed growth down. You know, that's one thing with those 90s we had. The weeds just went nuts, and, you know, we had water temperatures from 46, and in about 10 days it was 76. So it changed so fast that, you know, it makes fishing very tough. You know, fish like consistency. They don't like these wide, you know, swings. So I think this is kind of self-correct a little bit. And as we get into, you know, June, middle of June, end of June, we should be okay. So things look, you know, much more normal now than they did, you know, a week ago.
All right, what about rain and fall? What are you seeing out on the lakes that you frequent, et cetera? I still think we're in the boat where we need rain. It's still, to me, for the middle of June, we have had rain, but we could use more.
No, absolutely, Steve. We're way behind. I mean, we've had some rain, but a lot of the accesses are still very low. A lot of them are damaged, as we talked about in the spring, but we really need rain. I mean, bring it on. We're probably a foot down on a lot of lakes, and some of these lakes you can't even get a pontoon boat in because they're so low. So, you know, we continue to use waders, you know, high hip boots just to get onto these lakes because We're so down. I mean, I don't know if we can catch up, but the more rain, the better, really, especially for my garden as well as
yeah,
yours.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and to put a lot of water down. Unfortunately, I've had rain here in the cities the last few days. Hey, Steve, always good to visit with you. We'll do it again next week. Normal
right.
time, we got a late game for the Twins Saturday night, so we'll visit with you following the news at 4 next week.
Hey, sounds great, Steve. Take care.
All right, have a good week. There he is, Steve Kearney. Much cooler week. They've been sweating it out in the boat. Really tough. 74 now. It is windy northwest at 16. Gusting to 26 right now. Low tonight, 52. High tomorrow, 72. And then on Monday, 78. There is a little chance of rain on Monday night. Twins fall to the Cardinals, 9-6. Remember, Corso tomorrow between 10 and noon at noon inside Twins. We'll have the lineup card at 12:30, first pitch at 1:10. Twins and Cardinals wrap up that series at Target Field. Then don't forget Monday, state baseball title games at Target Field all day. Have a great night.